Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, that we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So far we read the Holy Bible, every word completely holy, a perfect word, not always perfect in translation, but perfect in its essence, in its message, the inspired Word of God. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, the living way, the only one of which it can be said, He is the way, the truth, the life. We pray, Father, that we might rightly be taken and given Him, by Him, that Thou would receive us through Him. And here we read much of the Spirit, but we also read of the gospel of Christ. As Paul said to another church, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." And we have that here also again, telling us that He not only died, but He rose again and is on Thy right hand, making intercession for us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that Thou would both teach us to pray and make intercession for us, both in the things that we know and the things that we do not know, that we must yet learn, that we might see that Thy kingdom is great, Thy kingdom is higher than what we can even imagine. Thou hast told us Thy ways and Thy thoughts are higher than our thoughts and our ways, even as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are Thy ways and Thy thoughts. Help us to see it, to acknowledge it, to be awed by it, and to be thankful for it, that Thou hast a way far above us. And even as we see the struggling in our country, the lack of the church being assaulted, we pray, Father, that there might be an awakening, there might be a reviving, there might be again the church in its proper place, as it was with our forefathers, and as it was especially in the revivals and the great awakening that took place, thankfully, more than once. And we pray, Father, that we might have that great blessing again, that Thy Spirit will begin to work in a very mighty way, accompanying Thy Word, both in the church and throughout the rest of the nation, and also, Father, throughout the whole world, for both Jew and Gentile, that there might be another time, such as on the day of Pentecost, another time as the beginning of some of the churches that Paul could write to, beside this one at Rome. And he could write to the church at Thessalonica stating that he came not in word only, but in power with Thy Holy Spirit. And we pray that there might be many places, that there again will be a church where they have closed and where they have come to very few in attendance, that there might be awakening and reviving in a mighty way by Thy Spirit. And we pray for that. Thou hast told us, Father, that if we ask, He will be given. And we pray that Thou would teach us to ask in the right way and for the right purpose, especially for Thy glory. And we pray that Thy name might be magnified and glorified through the gospel, through it reviving that gospel in the church and using the gospel mightily to build the church. We also give thanks, Father, for the temporal things that we have that others do not have. Paul tells us to having food and raiment, therewith to be content. And we have it in abundance, and we pray for those who do not have it even sufficiently, both food and raiment, housing. We pray that Thou would bless the means used for them. And we pray especially that the poor might have the gospel preached to them, that they might have the greatest need first and above all, and the other needs also met. We pray that for the sick, for the injured. We pray it for the broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray it for the elderly, the troubled in mind. We pray for lands that are at war. We pray for the persecuted ones. We pray, Father, for the slaves to their masters, the women especially, they and their children. We pray for all these different calamities that are there in nature and in other ways. When we give again, we give thanks for what we have through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look at this chapter once again, a very wonderful chapter containing many things, beginning with justification. In the first verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In ourself, we stand condemned, guilty. But in Christ Jesus, it's different, entirely different. So different that, as we read, when we are in the flesh, we do die. Paul said that here in Romans 8. He said it also in the 7th chapter, the 5th verse, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law, did work on our members to bring forth death. That's all we had. We were dead in sin, and we were under the judgment of God. We had earned the wages of sin, which is death, under the wrath of God. For those of us who are God's children, like Paul said to the Ephesians, children of wrath, even as others, and then he could say, but God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ. Paul is warning us very much that in our flesh we cannot please God, as the first verse that we read. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Impossible. Paul said of himself, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. In another scripture, he says, the flesh striveth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Here we are told to mortify the flesh, to crucify it, to try to put it to death. But it always comes back. In the 7th chapter, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul was certainly a good example for us in overcoming the flesh and giving us the answer, as he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we have that justification in the first verse, we also have it, Father, in the 30th verse, for whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. The verse before it is really a picture of sanctification, which probably is, we could say, for the most part of this chapter, the subject. In the 29th verse, we read, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. To be conformed to the image of Christ is sanctification. Paul writes to another church stating, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Also, we see that the sanctification came through Christ. In the last verse of the 7th chapter, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He had the mind of Christ and the trust in Christ, and as he also stated a number of times, the faith of Christ, knowing that the Lord Jesus was not only the object of his faith, but also the author and the finisher of his faith. And we must have that for both justification and sanctification. That comes out in the 9th verse of this 8th chapter. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. That's the positive. And then the warning in the last part of that 9th verse. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We don't belong to him. We aren't justified. We can't be sanctified. Christ warned just before he died, without me, you can do nothing. And it's also true, without him, we can have nothing that is really good, and certainly nothing that is in the line of eternal life. Only through Christ. Only through Christ. Only because of him. Only. And then Paul goes on in the 10th verse, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the spirit is life because of righteousness. There we see it is not only Christ as the sin bearer, the sacrifice, the one who died, the one who rose again, but the one that gives us life. Christ be in you. Yes, he's in heaven. He went up, ascended to the right hand of the Father, sat down, but he's also by his Spirit in us, and we must have him. How different it is than the church at Laodicea, where he had to say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And we could see by the way he described them, they did not have Christ in them. They were poor, wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and worst of all, proud. So blind, they were proud. But they did not have Christ at that time. The Lord Jesus still loved them. He says, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. And how we need that today in the church, that the church will be chastened, that the church will be rebuked, stopped in what we are allowing. We are allowing evolution to be taught in the seminaries, in the Christian schools. Terrible, terrible, wicked, blind leaders of the blind when they teach it. Awful. evolution is a lie, a total lie. It's easy to say that the scientists are proving it, but they have no proof at all. None. Not a bit. It's all guesses. It's all theories. And they're foolish theories. I won't even say they're so foolish, many of them, given the age especially of the Earth as they think it and they give the reasons for it. It's just blind. It's so blind, as Paul said in Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's what's happened in our country. That's what's happened worse than that in the church that should be a salt and a light. So we must open the door. We must exhort one another, as Paul said in his letter to the church of the Hebrews. First in the beginning, exhort one another. Toward the end of that epistle, he said, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but to gather together and to exhort one another. Urge each other to believe the truth. And that's what we need to do in the church. Only then can we be a salt, and only then can we be a light to the rest of the nation. And there are the many other sins as well. The terrible sin of abortion. Awful. Awful beyond description. And yet people make light of it and call it a right. All of that is of the flesh. That's not of the Spirit of Christ. And I know how easy it is to grieve the Spirit, quench the Spirit, when we become careless in those things. And there is a sin of neglect, as well as the open sin of doing those things. If we neglect to do right, if we neglect to exhort one another, if we neglect to warn each other and ourselves, because listen again to what Paul said. Motions of sin, which were by the law, which did work in our members, to bring forth fruit unto death. Sin. Lies are a terrible sin. Wrongdoing in all those areas are sin. They are disobedience. They are unbelief. Those things must be reckoned dead. As we read in the 10th verse, for if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And there are many, many, many people in our nation fighting for the way of death, fighting for the death of the unborn. People have fought all the way to the Supreme Court for the right for marriage, for the homosexuals, for the lesbians, when God calls it and continues to call it fornication, doesn't recognize the marriage. The body of our churches aren't dead. The Spirit seems to be dead in many areas, but not the body. The body is dead because of sin, Christ said, or Paul said, and which is actually Christ saying it, because Paul is Christ's witness to us. Only by the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What a difference between the evils that I mentioned and righteousness. God's righteousness. The law is righteous, holy, as Paul said in the 7th chapter. And then God provides a righteousness for justification, but there's also a righteousness in sanctification, moving away from the sinful ways into the way of righteousness. Or again, that 29th verse, be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that he will be honored, he will be glorified, that his name will be recognized as the name above every name. He is with the Father, the Holy One, the Perfect One. Yes, he became sin for us and went to the cross, bore the curse, but he is himself the Holy One. He glorified the Father in all things, and he's doing it today, both in heaven on the right hand of the Father and still on earth, allowing many things to go on in sin, as we can read in Psalm 2. But one day, his wrath will be known. His wrath will be known against the sins that I just mentioned. They are spoken of in that way. Those that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed. We've got that coming as a nation. Judah had it. Because of the innocent blood, God could not pardon them, and death came in four different ways. The noisome beast, the famine, the pestilence, and the sword. Those that weren't carried away captive died, except the very few. And they died amongst themselves later and fled to Egypt and died there. It was a terrible, terrible thing on their sin. Other ways, we read, those that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's all. All these different ways are ways that sin brings us to. The broad way brings us to destruction. Here we have the wonderful way that could rightly be called the narrow way. In the 11th verse, it begins with the word, but, the contrast. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's our hope of living the life of sanctification. The only hope is by faith, not obedience without faith, not obedience by the law. If we didn't have the Spirit of Christ, there would be no hope. Again, those words of Christ that I quoted a moment ago, when he said, without me, you can do nothing. John 15. He says, he's the vine, we're the branches. And that is basically said here in a different way. In this 11th verse, he that raised up Christ from the dead also shall quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Christ said shortly before he died, the Spirit will take the things of mine and show them to you. And he does that. He is the ascended Lord. We can see that later in this chapter. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I need that. You do too, if you're a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, you need it to be prayed for, that you will become a child of God. Christ makes intercession for us who believe. We need that. We need him to be praying to the Father. Also the Spirit is doing the same. We read in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's what we should be doing ourselves, groaning, crying, weeping before the throne of grace. James says, let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. We are certainly in such a time in the church, in the home, and in our country that is needed. There's nothing to take lightly today. We may well be on the way to be given over to a reprobate mind. Some people have said, well, God won't let this happen, or God won't let that happen, that the evil would take over, but he is allowing things to happen. He's allowing, as it seems, those that are for the murder of the unborn to be in a place of authority, in a place where some of them, before they seem to have been elected, it's still not settled fully, but they said, if we get elected, we will show the church who's in authority. We may have that coming. We may have had our days of freedom that we did not use as we could have and should have, both in prayer and in witnessing. I hope we can still say, like God said to Jeremiah in the beginning of his ministry, that if we will repent, we will not remove. But if we don't repent, change our ways, have more of what we read here. Listen again. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. I think of the words that God gives by one of the prophets. Woe unto them that are eased in Zion. It's very easy just to say, well, this is the way God does for his children. This is what he gives. But there's a vast difference both in how much we do and how much God does in us. As I said a little while ago, we need reviving. Jonathan Edwards said, in the month of December, God began extraordinarily to work amongst us. And that was extraordinary. It was different. It was God blessing the word wonderfully that before that had not been given heed to. There was error in doctrine. There was much disobedience, both with the young and the older ones. The young ones were staying out sometimes all night. The older ones were having difficulties among themselves. Doctrine was such that people were so concerned over it, they said the spirit of truth is gone. The day of our salvation is past by the false doctrine that was being taught, the same doctrine that's being taught so much in our country, called Arminianism. Sometimes we call it free will. And some of you will probably recoil and say, well, I believe in free will. Exercise it then. Bring forth fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold. Do what God tells you to do. Be perfect as he is perfect. I can only do that when he works in me, when he gives me his blessed spirit, the spirit of Christ. Those of us who know it, we need more of it, much more individually, much more in our families, much more in our churches. So we will be again a salt and a light. We need awakening to the truth. Need to see here that we are debtors to one place and one purpose, one way, to the Holy God. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. And then again the warning, the same as he gave in the 7th chapter. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit will mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. I think we could say that it's very easy just to live in the flesh. Get up in the morning, eat, do our work, and that is often first and most. Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That should always be there in our thoughts, and even in our daily work, our eating, everything. Paul says to the church at Corinth, whether you eat or whether you drink, do all the glory of God. Do we do that? Do we think of that when we eat? How can I do this to the glory of God? And one way we can do it is to be thankful for what we have. Never murmur, never complain. Especially when we have so much more blessing than many others. And it's very easy just to neglect the kingdom of God. Paul gives warning to another church. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And we must not only neglect to seek it, to enter in, but we must not neglect to work it out in fear and trembling, as Paul writes to the Philippians. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do after his good pleasure. That's the fulfilling of this 8th chapter. Let me close again with those words. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So we have life and death before us, as Moses said, in God's way through Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.